You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Are you interested in Indigenous issues? Do you get ticked off with ongoing colonization? Do you have something to say? Or do you want to learn more? We have just the thing. Join UBC's first ever Indigenous Radio Collective at CITR Radio, Unceded Musqueam Territories. Our show, Unceded Airwaves, airs every Monday from 11 to 12, and we meet from 12 to 1 to plan our upcoming shows. We're interested in content covering various things from film to literature, current day politics, history, whatever you want to talk about, we're into it. Everyone welcome, Indigenous and non-Indigenous.
Marie Bernard, host of Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Join me Mondays at noon as we explore the universal energy that connects us all. Let's discuss our journey of self-discovery, joy, presence, and living with authenticity. We can create positive change in the world, and it starts within each one of us. Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Mondays at noon on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
Sorry, hi. I just held on so tight when all you wanted was to spread your wings and fly. I hope you know that I do realize that all this isn't just what. I'm seeing angels. I'm seeing angels. I'm seeing angels for the first time. Change your mind. I really thought that in the end, oh, we would be alright. I tried to give her time to figure out her life, but oh, in the end, you're my only friend, and you turn as cold as ice. 'Cause I'm seeing for the first time, which makes me wonder, God, oh, why I'm still alive. 'Cause I'm seeing angels. Remember, baby, darling, to put that smile on her face. And when the sun shines upon this place, I said, I will, oh no, no, I will. I'll do my best to put that smile on my face. 'Cause I'm seeing angels for the first time, which makes me wonder, God, oh, why I'm still alive. 'Cause I'm seeing an angel from my own eyes. 'Cause now I know, but never knew, when was I to realize? 'Cause I'm seeing
of us believe. The spirit world is everything.
You are invited to the second annual Nihio Pascua Itsimawan Powwow, taking place on unceded Musqueam territories here at UBC. The powwow is happening March 26th in the Great Hall of the AMS Nest. Grand entry is at 12. Come for traditional dancing, singing, food, and artisan crafts. What could be better? Mark your calendars, folks. Everybody welcome. For more information, please visit UBC Powwow Facebook group or contact the First Nations and Indigenous Studies Student Association.
Passionate, playful, and provocative storytelling. Theater at UBC's upcoming show, The Arabian Nights, by acclaimed playwright Mary Zimmerman, is being directed by Evan Frayne and running from March 17th to April the 2nd at the Frederick Wood Theater. The narrative centers around Scheherazade's tales told to King Shahryar in hopes that she may live another night. Or 1001 nights.
And welcome to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and today we are speaking with Deborah Silverman. She is the author of The Missing Element, Inspiring Compassion for the Human Condition. And Deborah works on an individual basis as well as in workshops to impart emotional wisdom through a simplified language that describes the qualities of water, air, earth, and fire. She received an MA in clinical psychology and trained for mental health credentials at Harvard and York Universities. And you can find her online at DeborahSilvermanAstrology.com. And I just want to say, on the cover of the book, there's a quote by Sting. He says, Deborah Silverman reminds you what fun it is to be you, the singular, freakish, awkward you. And she also reminds you of your potential, your gifts to the world, and your place in it. Welcome to the show, Deborah.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for being with us today. And so let's talk about the book, the Missing Element, Inspiring Compassion for the Human Condition. And it starts with the four elements. Can you tell us a little bit about why this is so important?
It's so important. Well, it's ancient, first of all. It's one of the oldest sciences, starting with the American Indians and starting with the old Jews, the Kabbalistic Jews. It's in the Four Noble Truths of the Buddhists. It's in the Four Directions of the American Indians. Everywhere you look, the four elements. We can't live without water, air, earth, or fire. Think about it. You have to have water to drink and air to breathe and food to eat and the sun or the heartbeat, fire, to keep us going. So basically, they're the most powerful creative powers in the world, in this existence. And the more we understand them and come back to basics and get our feet on the ground, the less we're in woo-woo. I get personally, there's so much information out there, I get a little exhausted with woo-woo. And I'm an astrologer, so it's really not fair to say that. But I like practical information, that your feet can touch the ground and your hands can touch the rocks, and you can apply information and make a difference very quickly rather than talking about it.
Wonderful. Well, that's one of the things I wanted to have you on the show. I don't normally cover astrology because I don't believe in it, but I like that you're very practical, because so am I. So for someone who is skeptical like me, how is this book, how should I approach the book?
So there's no astrology in the book. That's what's so curious. It's a personality test that comes with the book, and you quickly discover which one you are, water, air, earth, or fire. So you take the test in the book, and for example, by looking at your chart, I already know that you've scored high on earth, practical, concrete results, making sure you're loyal and you're responsible and you're accountable. That's very high value for you. Anyone that, then you find out what the missing element is, and in your chart, you have no air. And air is the element of talking dippy, like having superficial conversations and being in a theory and getting off the planet and having all kinds of ideas. That's one that you don't have. So I would say to you, if I was going to balance the cycle, the system, because there's four wheels in a car, four elements, one of the wheels goes down and the whole thing goes off. So we're looking at balancing all four. So if in your chart you don't have much air, which is, you probably don't like superficial conversations, is that true?
Pretty true, yeah.
And socializing for its own sake is not what you would be running into, like a party?
No, I'm very social, but I get into deep conversations. I don't like just the surface stuff.
Right. Some people are very good at schmoozing, I call it. So I don't have your chart and all the answers in front of me that would give you some concrete experience. But the short answer is someone's missing fire, for example. So they don't have energy. They don't get up and go. They don't go for a run. They have none of that. And so therefore, in their life, they're missing that fun factor because they're not getting that juice or that passion activated. So in the book, you take the test, you figure out the missing element, and then you use the medicine or whatever that is to activate or to balance out the system. It's kind of like the spice that's missing when you're eating the meal and you're going, why is this so bland, better known as your life? And then I give you the formula for the spice, very simple, very practical. And then suddenly people say, oh my God, suddenly they're communicating more. Or suddenly the energy's back, or suddenly they're losing weight, or suddenly they're feeling, it's just so simple to give people back to themselves.
But I did see the four elements, and you were there was a section where you talk about a crisis of the elements and what that would look like. And I was looking at that, and I was kind of like, how common is it that people have stuff missing in all the elements?
Never. There's always very comfortable, for sure. Somebody, like, if there's an example of water, for example, so someone's emotional, and they're always very predominant. There's not, it's usually one's missing. Let's go through them. So water is the emotional personality type. They cry easily. They're reclusive. They don't like to talk. They like to stay at home. They have a really natural relationship with animals and with their kids, and they don't want to be social. They don't want to go out. They want to be like the cook or the poet or the musician or the writer, and they're much more internal. They're called introverts. And they're incredibly intuitive and psychic, and they have a very strong relationship with feelings. The next element is air, and they don't care about feelings. They're all in their head, and they're thinking, and they're talking, and they change their mind. They socialize, and they're on the phone. They're on the internet. And they're doing Facebook, and they're airheads. So they're moving very quickly, and they're talking to everybody, and they've got the social skill as compared to water, who's quiet and internal and gentle and healing. Water is a healer. And then the third element is earth. Practical, grounded, really getting things done, making their list, cleaning the house, organizing, making sure the money's in place. All the practical parts of life is so easy to them as compared to the airhead who's just having fun talking, or the water person who just wanted to be left alone. Earth people are business and numbers and accounting and taxes and getting things done. And the last category is fire. And these are the really energized bunnies. They're happy. They're fun. They're show-offs. I think you're fire, actually. They love to be in the world and be able to show up and show off and give people inspiration and wake everybody up. They're like alarm clocks. Think of fire. You walk in a room, we all stare at it because it's so exciting and so energizing. And so people are drawn to it, but they also get mad at it because they tend to be more honest and blunt, and they stick their foot in their mouth and they say things. You're like, what'd you just say? And they're thinking they're just telling the truth. So you can see how fire and water would clash. The fire person was that blunt, and the water person is that quiet.
Tune in to La Fiesta every other Sunday from 3 to 5 p.m. with your host, Nick Arana. Listen to internationally acclaimed musica latina caliente that makes your body move and your heart beat.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Monday.
From 1 to 3 p.m.
Who is this guy? Does he have a name? Does anybody know where he's from?
From parts unknown.
My name's Chris Horrific.
You always wanted his character to be bigger than life.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is without question the greatest sports and entertainment event of all time. Be a part of it Monday.
From 1 to 3 p.m.
The Parts Unknown Show on 101.9 CITR. Sometimes cosmoses collide.
Break your fingers.
Through studies and all.
Why did you get disillusioned? What was the disillusionment?
Seeing these big spiritual people behind the scenes and not walking their talk. It was really hurtful.
Exactly, yeah. Right. So that is exactly what I am all about, is how do I bring you practicality? So here's how it would translate. And Sarah's going to look up your chart and bring it to us. I can't seem to get this computer to work because I'm on someone else's computer. Sarah, if you can help me open this up, it's already in Astro and I can't do it. So it's under Marie. It's her name. Okay, I can bring it. Give me the computer.
So is this a program that just calculates?
It gives you all the information, and it's very simple, and it gives you the gift of being able to see where the planets are. So I teach. This is a moment in time that we won't forget. The first interview that no one was prepared. It's not my style. Let me get you your chart.
Well, this is also your first time doing an interview on Google Hangouts on air, so I know that was, I can imagine that was a little bit stressful for something new.
Okay, so here we have your chart. And I'd love it if you had a questionnaire. That would really help. It's in the book. If there's a way to find on the page what page it's on, the interview, the questionnaire, she's got it, but she can't see it. Okay, so let's see here. Yes, so you're, that's very funny about the Earth. You are a detailist. You're a perfectionist, and you have a high appetite for accuracy. And when things don't go just so, it's very uncomfortable for you because your value this life is being accountable, responsible. And you have quite a bit of Virgo, I don't know if you knew that, which describes a person who loves quality control and is a Puritan. So if it's not the real thing, your little lie detector test goes off and you're like, beep, 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 beep. And I think I would say your missing element, even though it is air, it has something to do with, it's just as you explained it. If someone's talking theory, this is air people. Typical air people can listen to anything and be interested in everything. Your value system gets all filtered through earth. So it's the practicality of life and the details and the precision that really turns you on. And that's Nick. So everyone's got a different system. One of your gifts is being the voice or being the contrarian. That's one of your qualities, is being willing to ask the questions that no one else asks and being able to step into the conversation that's really difficult. That's comfortable for you because your value is so much about practicality that when things get left out, you'd be very unsatisfied. You're also probably a great cook. Do you like to cook?
Maybe if I had a bigger kitchen, but not right now.
You don't cook. That's interesting. But you must, is nurturing and mothering and cuddling and animals, is that part of your world?
Yeah.
So
yeah, this is a perfect opportunity to ask this question. So we have our base personality types and our elements, but then how much do life circumstances alter those and mess it up?
That's a very good question. So let me ask you this. What happened in 2007, 2008? That should have been a very big turning point for you.
I don't know. I was really depressed. At that time, I was the heaviest I've ever been. It wasn't a good year.
So that's was that the turning point? Did you bottom out right about then? Remember that birth date, 2007, 2008? 7 years ago, 8 years ago.
Yeah, I just remember, I wasn't where I wanted to be. I've had, like, depression cycles throughout my life, so, like, lots of trauma and all that. And then a couple years after that, I moved away from that situation. I was living with someone that it wasn't a good situation. I've moved a couple years after that, I think, and maybe the next year.
Was that the next year?
I think so. I don't remember exactly the dates, but yeah.
No, this is the thing about astrology. There are cycles, and depression is a great example of water, by the way. So water are people that feel so much and they care so much that it hurts. And until they learn the skill, this is part of what the book is about. It's really strong in the book. The observer is the bottom note of the message of the book. And the book has to do with when you can start stepping aside and looking at yourself from a distance and you see your patterns, for example, if it's depression or it's weight or it's relationship or it's money or it's career, and it keeps reoccurring, which is what I say in the book, there's a pattern of crisis. And it comes in and it hurts us. And it always seems like it's the worst thing that could happen during it. But if you get through it, and then you learn the skill set of either, in your case, because you have no air, it's probably the observer of being able to watch yourself and to notice the pattern. How did you get out of the depression?
Well, I still get it. I just keep moving forward. I've been in therapy and doing lots of work, and it just keeps coming back. I get new skills. The depression comes, and my life doesn't fall apart anymore like it used to. But it still comes.
Right. So this is the thing about the book. You will find a theme. That's a water theme. You just gave the exact example. So that's a water story. I bet your issue is water if you scored on the test, which we don't have. But what you'd see is you probably score really high on water. Sensitivity, being empathic, caring too much, being respectful to other people, feeling their pain almost like it's your pain, being empathic. And so therefore it gets so imploded that if you don't introduce another element, which in this case would be air, detachment, standing apart, learning how to use your mind, that's the medicine, is the missing element gets introduced. And then suddenly you're like, whoa, who would have thought that learning how to use my mind would get me out of depression? But it's typically a different doorway that you're not using that helps you get freed. And that's really what this is all about, is finding out what the patterns are that repeat, because everyone's got them. I mean, depression's a really hard one, but issues around relationships are really hard, or finances are really hard, or there's, you know, everyone's story in this lifetime comes in with so much to learn. And some people come in with an easy lifetime, and you look at them and you go, now how'd that happen? And some people come in where they're like one trauma after another trauma, and they really came in as a Leo to have a little bit more drama and trauma to keep them muscular. And while it seems like it's been hard, it's actually a gift in disguise, because you're accruing consciously, you're learning, you're a great student of life. You're not just taking it lightly. You're really pouring yourself into it. So there's a spirit who's got a will, as compared to a water person who's like, I'm not even going to go out of the house. I'm just going to implode and I'm not going to grow. You're clearly growing. And that's what the book is all about. How do we take our position in this lifetime, find our missing element, have compassion for whatever it is you're carrying, and everyone's carrying something, and then rewrite the story with a new narrative based on the missing element. Wonderful. That makes sense?
I think so. So there's one, it's just one element that each of us are missing that keeps us unbalanced, or can
sometimes
it be more
it's two,
than one?
But it's very clear that it's one. There's usually one that really stands out. Like someone can't do money. That's earth. Or somebody can't do their emotions. They can't do stillness. They do never relax. That's water. Or they can't take care of their sexual energy. They don't have any sexual energy. Or they're too sexual. Or they're addicted. That's fire. Or it's air. They don't know how to communicate with a way of being in relationships. They can't do relationship. So it's usually, I mean, it can be in a really hard personality story. Yes, they could have all four. But I've never seen it, to tell you the truth. There's always some element that's really strong and healthy. I've never seen anybody that's got a problem with the personality types that's really handicapped. In the book, there's four stories. I don't know how much you read of the book, but there's four stories of all the people that have mastered their element by overcoming it, by using the trauma to become their doorway to really doing their work.
So could you share one of those stories with us?
Sure. My favorite one is the water story, which I just found out from him last week because the book is coming out now, and I had to make sure the content, because I'm starting to do these millions of interviews, that Diane Sawyer called him from ABC to have him give her the story, and he only gave it to me, so he never gave it to her.
Pardon me.
I love that.
That's my reminder to be bold and happy and loving.
I love that.
It's an alarm.
That's a fire reminder. That's a great thing. Let's do it. Let's see you be bold and happy and energetic. That's cool. Okay, so this is the fire story. This is the water story, the first story. And water always comes first. We spend 9 months in the water in the womb. We walk into a party. The first thing everyone says is, do you want some water or some wine or some tea? First thing in the morning, you go to the bathroom, you take a shower. Everything always starts in water. It's the emotional part. So he was a fireman for 25 years in New York City in Manhattan, and he was the lieutenant of his house, the firehouse. He retired on September 9th, 2001. And there was a big party for him. On September 11th, he was flying for his retirement. He looked out the window on his plane, and he saw the World Trade Center on fire. He left from New Jersey, and the plane landed. He drove back. That was his district. The firehouse that he was in for 25 years was right next to the World Trade Center. He flies back to New York City and finds out that the guy that hired him the day before, who has the same job as he had, who began his job, was dead, and that everybody in his unit had died. So he left the day before, retired on September 10th. And then he began his entrance into his pain, water, sadness, depression. What am I going to do about this? How will I ever have faith again? How will I ever believe again? And then he started working with me, and he did lots of other therapies, and he found himself as a yoga teacher. He forgot about retirement and decided to be a yoga teacher and became a healer. So that's the rewrite of a trauma or a painful experience. And now he's an amazing yoga teacher, travels around the world, and he took his pain, and he had to forgive the men that created the crime. That makes sense?
Wow.
That's called water. Yeah. So, and here's the air story. Air is, this is a great story. I had a friend who worked in San Quentin Prison in California. She was a volunteer, and she was leaving. And she said, there's this one man who I've really grown accustomed to. I've gotten really close to him. I don't want to leave him alone. Would you be his pen pal? So I began to write him over the next probably 10 years. Every week I'd write him a card, and I'd go to the New Age bookstores and buy a little rainbow card with a little unicorns on it and little sparkles. And I kept saying, don't give up, Kenny. And I was working with Sting at this time, and I told him the story about Kenny, who I'd gone to see him at San Quentin. He was in for life. He'd been given a life sentence. It was the wrong sentencing. He did commit a crime. He never hurt anyone, but he'd been given a life sentence, which was inaccurate. So he'd been in prison for 27 years at this point. So I'm telling the story, and then a few of my wealthy friends said, I'll pay you to go get him out. Go get the best lawyer you can in California, and I did. And he was released, this is the craziest story, on the day that Obama received his nomination. He was a black man, Kenny. He was released on the day that Obama received his nomination, the same day that 45 years earlier, Martin Luther King said, I have a dream. That was the day that Kenny got out of prison.
Wow.
And I filmed it and made a short documentary. It's on my website. And you see this man liberated, freed, after 27 years, and his attitude was remarkable. And so this is error. Error is, don't let your mind leave you in prison and never think you're going to get out. Anything's possible. Because there was no reason. He was the first man in 30 years that had a life sentence that was let out of San Quentin.
Wow. Okay, well, speaking of your website, it is DeborahSilvermanAstrology.com, and we're speaking with Deborah Silverman right now. She's the author of The Missing Element, Inspiring Compassion for the Human Condition. So the air, it sounds like you, this ability to just be light and fluffy, everyone needs that, because if we get stuck in too much of the practical or too much of the emotional or too much of the dramatic, then we get sucked into that. And yet if you're too strong in air, then you're just flying around and never accomplish anything in life.
Exactly. You got it. And what your element is missing is air, and air is lightening up. It's so great that your alarm went off and said, you know, have fun. But that's very air to have a phone that gives you the indicator to smile. It's so funny.
Yeah, I set up the alarms to do that. And I do, yeah, that people tell me to lighten up a lot. It's very serious and very
goal-oriented.
Literal, too. Like, I do talk a lot. I talk too much, but it's not fluffy, I don't think. It's
exactly.
Get to the facts.
You've made my point. You're missing air. You have no air in your chart. So the way that you add that to it is just what you did. That's a great exercise. Smiling, just pretending you're happy. Air people are happy for no reason. They're dippy. You're not dippy.
I'd like to be more dippy. Ignorance is bliss, you know. Sometimes, like, I just focus on so much. Like, what's wrong? If I see a problem, I feel like it's my responsibility to fix it, which is what you were saying, that
Earth.
Yeah.
You really got it in your chart big time.
I'm terrible with taxes and accounting, so.
Right. Well, it means that there's some places, that's air, the numbers and the details. Someone else should be doing that for you, but some people that are Earth really love doing that. So you're a great example. I wrote this book for the non-believers. You don't have to believe in astrology for this book to be important. You have to believe in the desire for you to fall in love with who you are and to turn on your observer and to find the way to get out of that locked position where you keep going in a circle, which clearly you're really working at. So thank funny because the circle's all behind you.
Yeah. So because I haven't had a chance to look at the questionnaire that helps you just figure out what you're missing and what your elements are, how does that relate to the chart you're looking at? So you can see just based on the day I was born what I am, but this, I would imagine the questionnaire is more about things about me, personality traits.
Well, there's things about that's happening now. So that's the distinction. The chart is the potential and the personality test is the answer of what's occurring right now, because we're always changing. And some people lose their chart. Some people aren't really authentic and they become really goal-oriented to be established in the prestigious world of, you know, looking good. And they left their water behind or their emotional body. So I can tell by the test more accurately. And the chart tells me the potential of what they're capable of. So I use both.
Oh, okay, good to know.
One's more here and now, and one's more potential. But some people are totally their chart. It's like the funniest thing. I mean, it's embarrassing. When you learn astrology, it's embarrassing how totally we are playing out our characters. I mean, you look like a Leo. Look at your hair.
Yeah, I'm definitely a Leo, but I'm kind of on the cusp near Cancer.
You have a lot of Virgo. You should be reading about Virgo.
I didn't know.
Lots of it. So you're a worrier and you get yourself caught into the details of things. And if it's not right, it drives you crazy. And yeah, you are very precise and it's really annoying when things aren't real.
That's an interesting question, because in some ways I am a perfectionist. I definitely ruminate, worry, focus on details. And yet my house is unorganized.
Total Virgo. They can be really messy, but there's a method to their madness.
Yes.
They don't put things away, but they know exactly where everything is. It's the funniest thing. As compared to some people who really don't know where anything is. Virgos know. They just don't have the time to put it away because they're multitasking all the time.
Yes. So how, okay, then is that, well, I don't know enough about astrology to know. I just know that based on the day I was born, I'm a Leo. But what other things take into account?
Because you've got three planets in Virgo. You've got your Saturn's there, your Venus there, your Mars is there. You've got quite a bit of Virgo. It is, and there's messy Virgos. It just means, right now, by the way, your chart is really in a positive cycle. You should be doing really well with work. Are things in a positive cycle right now?
Compared to the past, I never feel like I'm doing well enough.
That's so
compared to where I've been, absolutely.
That's so funny because Earth people never think they're doing well. They never feel like they're getting it right. Even when they're getting it right, they don't know they're getting it right. They get a high score and it wasn't an A+, it was only an A-. Now they're mad. And you're like, wow, that's the hard part of Earth people. That's the purity I was talking about. You're always seeking a better, better, better version of Marie. It's a good thing from a spiritual angle. It's not very fun for your ego because she's always being criticized.
It's very painful. Yeah,
it is.
So I have to ask you, because I mean, this is all sounding totally like me and I want to believe, but I'm also a skeptic and you were a skeptic. So how, I mean, you mentioned that you, in the time you've been doing your show and all of that, it was also accurate, but to be a skeptic, there must have been something that
No, because it's as simple as that. After I've done almost 40 years every day of doing this, And after the first 30 years, I was enjoying it from a place of studying, because I have a very, you know, solid thought process. I'm very committed and disciplined. And then when I got on the radio show, first it was Hay House, because there's thousands of, I mean, every Hay House radio show I did, thousands of people, it was unbelievable, the response. There's a huge listening audience. And they would call in like popcorn, and it was like, this is now, I'm at the point where I'm a believer, because how could it be? And I knew when their birth dates were wrong, or their birth time was wrong, because it wouldn't go yes, 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 yes. So then at the end of all these years, and then I had my own show for the last 5 years, I'm like, you know what? I don't need to keep questioning this. I'm a firm believer. So it's experience that taught me, which is how Earth people learn. We want concrete evidence. We don't want theory.
But in order to even take that on, I'm just curious. I mean, you did 30 years of studying it, so there must have been some desire to believe.
Carl Jung was quoted to say, psychology will be a dinosaur science until it includes astrology. He was an astrologer. It just came out in the last 15, 20 years. Every session he did, he had a chart in front of him. All the mandalas he worked with, the four person, he worked with personality types. He was an astrologer. So I was brought to it. I was studying Jung in graduate school, and I came to it as an academic curiosity. I then, when I was in graduate school, clients would start to come to see me to work with me, and I'd listen to them tell me their story as their first session. I'd be like, oh my God, this is so negative. You're going to kill me. And then I'd look at their chart and go, can I just say a few things and reframe your story and tell you why you're so picky and why you're so critical and make it into a really beautiful quality of purity? And they were like, new frame, new thought. And that's how I started as a skeptic, using a method that shortened all the negative. I don't have an appetite for negative. I am a endless optimist who likes to laugh. I'm a lot of error. And if I'm not having fun, I'm miserable. So people sitting in my sessions being miserable wasn't going over. And I very quickly knew how to reframe negative into real, not super like saccharine or fake. And I got results. And then my practice, before I finished graduate school, combining astrology and psychology, I was mobbed with people. And that's when I realized this stuff really works. And so I just never argued with it. And I kept doing it as an experiment and fascination and fascination. And then it reached a critical point where I was like, would you stop with the skepticism? I was with my kids one night, and I remember saying to them, I don't really like woo-woo. And they were like, Mom, you're an astrologer. I was like, well, that's funny. I think of astrology as being very earthy. And that's when I realized, I think I've made astrology practical.
That is so funny. Because me, I would be like, if I had any doubt, then I don't know if I could do it at all.
Every single session, I mean, it is the straightest people. Of course, all these women send their husbands to me. The husbands believe, I work a lot in corporate now. They don't believe a thing. And then they sit down and people say I'm psychic. It's not psychic. It's astrology. So I love the non-believers. I love giving them readings. I love disregard. I love taking them out of their comfort, because I was one of you. And Carl Jung said it so well. Psychology will be a dinosaur science until it includes astrology. Because you got to sit and you go around and around the storyline rather than getting to the source of why are you the way you are? What was God thinking when she made you? Was she having a bad day? No. She had a real intention in making you the way you are. And depression, I hate to say this, it's one of the richest soulful doorways. A soul that takes on depression in a lifetime wants more than anything to be real. Sorry.
No, I like that. That's the reframing. I think it's important.
It's the only way this planet's going to make sense to me. I can understand depression. I don't like it here. But I've come to appreciate that sentence, I don't like it here, is not working. So I've had to call myself to the carpet and go, Deborah, what don't I like? I don't like people hurting each other. I don't like that there's so much density around people's natures and how they hurt, like they don't understand someone else's point of view. I'm loving politics at the moment, watching our American politics. But I don't care who your point of view is, just be kind. Like, listen to another person. And I don't understand the absence of kindness. I don't understand why people don't share their money. It makes me crazy. So I find this planet very disturbing that it's acceptable. I was just watching a documentary that the American Indians who lived on our land before we got here have been violated and abused, and we pretend like we're such nice people. No. Now let's go back and review and forgive them and ask for forgiveness and get ourselves back on course. But we're not there yet. But I have great optimism that we are going to change the story when we grow up. And we're just teenagers at the moment.
And that's one of the things that you say in your book. Maybe you could put your headset in now because I'm getting a bit of an echo.
I'm all yours. Here we go. What do I say in my book?
Wonderful. That's awesome. One of the things that you say in your book is that the way that we heal this planet, if we're going to be able to do that before we all go extinct, is each of us healing ourselves.
Exactly. How come I can't see you anymore? Are you still there?
Yeah, you can't see me?
It's funny.
No, well, that's strange.
Yeah, we are definitely having technical glitches. Ask that question again.
Your book says that if we are going to heal this planet, it's through healing each other, healing ourselves first.
So, I love it. Healing
how, each other. Yeah, well, I think a lot of us do that. We project. It's like, I see what's wrong with you. I can point all of that out and tell you exactly how you should live your life, but I'm not going to follow that advice. So what advice do you have for people like that?
Keep trying to change people. Good luck with that. Tell them everything you see. Argue with everything that you think is wrong with them and give them all the advice you can, and then look in the mirror and realize, oopsie, I'm talking to myself again. My advice is, you know what? It's so human nature to point the finger. You point the finger and three come back at you. Have you heard that before?
Yes.
Everyone knows that line. So it's a question mark of how are you going to give yourself back to your real function this life, which is to let go of other people and put your attention on what matters the most. And that's you. I mean, you're the only person. Listen, if you want to make an impact this lifetime, take responsibility. It's so ABCs. I was talking to someone this morning doing a session, and she was like, you know, I really feel like it's my husband and it's my work and it's my kids. I was like, would you stop? I'm very blunt, as you can see. I'm very honest. I can't stand flip-flap, blah, blah, blah. So the answer to your question is take responsibility for you. Turn on your joy. If you can't find it, do what you just said. I love it. That's their homework. Put on your phone a timer that goes off and you activate your joy. That's so no error. I love that story. You're really embodying my work, right? Live time. I love when that phone went off.
I'm really trying. But sometimes, so what do you do when the phone goes off and you're like, oh, I'm supposed to be joyful. I'm supposed to be loving. And I want to throw the phone out the window. It's a reminder of everything I'm doing wrong.
So there's nothing wrong with being grumpy. This is the observer. You can be grumpy. You cannot like people. You can think everybody's bugging you, and you can make fun of yourself. Like I am, like me. I complain about now. I'm changing. I'm almost 60. I'm changing my story. I used to say I hated being here, and then I was like, Deborah, would you stop? So you just make fun of myself. There goes a little whiner. There goes a little whiner, Deborah. Isn't she cute? She's miserable for 15 minutes until I get her attention and say, I'm in charge, not you, honey. So you're claiming your right to your own land, Maria. You're saying, I'm allowed to claim I want joy. Now, grump, you're not welcome today. But some days grump goes, really? And you'll have to wrestle with her.
Absolutely, yeah.
That's when you get muscles.
All right. Well, we are speaking with Deborah Silverman. She is the author of The Missing Element, Inspiring Compassion for the Human Condition. And don't we all suffer from that? And you can find her at DeborahSilvermanAstrology.com. And Deborah, I see a note here about an apprenticeship program. What is that?
So for those people that are interested in learning astrology or they want to be able to take this, there's a whole program. There's a 6-week program, there's a 12-week program, and there's a 3-month program. And you really get to be an astrologer when you grow up, or you get to be a dangerous astrologer as a beginner and just learn enough information to be able to tickle yourself. But the first course is it would be great for you. The first course gives you the practical skills using simple beginning points of how do you instill a change in your personality. And I'm going to steal your idea and get people to do that thing on the phone.
It wasn't my idea. I got that from a few different people, but yeah.
It's okay. Yeah. I'll steal it anyway. Yeah. So people can come learn. I am known for my being a teacher, and being a
teacher is one of my deepest passions. It's one of my greatest joys. And watching, I have a school right now with 100 students in it, and watching them learn is delightful. Wonderful. Well, I know that you have a lot of interviews and clients to speak with and all of that, so we do need to wrap up in a few minutes. But I'm wondering, so the missing element, inspiring compassion for the human condition, you can get that at Amazon or Findhorn Press?
Barnes & Noble. It's at all the Barnes & Nobles.
And Barnes & Noble, okay. Mm-hmm. And
you can go online on Barnes & Noble or Amazon or Findhorn Press, and the book is available.
Wonderful. And so, Deborah, what do you think is the most important message that you want viewers and listeners to take home today?
It sounds bad, but this sounds so funny, but that this is a cosmic joke. And as serious as you think you are, and you are, your lifetime is, if you can't find the humor in it and you can't find a way to be able to have compassion for how unbelievably difficult it is, you're going to find yourself miserable. So my message is, don't judge. Accept the fact that your karma was that you chose to have a body and you were given an assignment, and it looks just like your chart. And it looks just like your story. Forget the chart. It looks just like your story. Your story is perfectly designed for you. And as soon as you wake up inside the dream and choose joy and choose to be a contributing factor and choose to be a giver, the whole thing changes overnight. But it's a workout. You're a great example. It's work. This is not an easy movie. Whoever said life was going to be easy, they were lying. And when you get the musculature to choose life and to have fun, just look at your smile, the whole thing changes in half a minute. But it is, and depression or addiction or overeating or financial crisis, or they're all stupid teachers. I call them stupid stories in the book. They're stupid stories that came here to get you to wake up to be wise. Isn't that ridiculous? But anyway, whoever made up the program, I will talk to when I get home. When I get back to the pearly gates, I'm going to say, excuse me, who do I talk to? Like, they gave us challenges and crisis to wake up inside this movie? What if we got a memo? They could have mailed me a little email and would have said, Deborah, this is your information. But no. Sad, but true. And so it becomes funny. My message is, don't forget to laugh. It's a joke. You're a joke. I'm a joke. We're a cosmic joke. And we've got to have compassion and sweetness in the name of the pain, because otherwise this place is miserable. You understand.
I do, yeah. And it's funny because I'm in a relationship with a stand-up comedian who's broke, and I want a man who can provide and do all these things, and I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how long it's going to last, but.
Now, somehow that is just the funniest thing.
I'm in a relationship with a stand-up comedian who's broke. That's a beginning stand-up line. Because if you love his joy enough, it won't matter about the money. But if you've got a lot of earth in your chart, you care about the money.
Have you known many stand-up comedians? They're not very joyful people. I'm the one bringing the joy.
Really? He's not very happy?
He's happy with me. But stand-up is therapy for a lot of people. And he has a very, he's funny. He can find the humor in things, but it's from a cynical point of view. So it's an interesting mix.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for this interview, and good luck with that. Everybody's got a challenge. There's no one. Everyone's relationship has a challenge. Just how it goes. And as soon as you can smile and enjoy and find the missing element, and that's what the book's about, it'd be really fun for you. I'm sorry we didn't have everything set up today. I really apologize. That's you've taught us a lesson. So thank you.
No problem. It was such a pleasure speaking with you, and it's interesting watching it unfold. So, thank you so much for your time, Deborah. I really appreciate it. Again, Deborah Silverman, The Missing Element, Inspiring Compassion for the Human Condition. And if you found this interview helpful or useful, please share it with someone that you think might find it valuable as well, and subscribe to the channel. And sending lots and lots of love to you. I love you so much. Be well.
Thank you.
Namaste.
Bye-bye. Namaste.
Hey, it's Prophecy Sun. Meow. You're listening to CITR Radio 101.9 FM in Vancouver. Come back.
I just wanted to do a nice experimental music radio show and maybe throw in some feeling nice talking that anonymous, like a private body sense in your podcast. I mean, I think I can talk and that's good enough.
Fight or flight music sometimes for things that are not alright.
I just
radio essays and travesties, radio catechisms, half-baked philosophy and criticism, experimental beat music, avant-garde, post-punk, industrial. Noise ad nauseum. Cue it up.